Just a further comment, John, on your thought about the little child. As you're pointing out that God is looking for an element of maturity. But I wonder if, in terms of Solomon making that statement, that it doesn't just bring out, first of all, before maturity, the matter of one's incapacity. Mm-hmm. Because I think we need to start there. Remember, Gideon started there. Mm-hmm. He was the least among his brethren. Even Paul talks about being less than the least. So it appears as though, at times, we need to understand and make a judgment about our own personal capacity. It is in light of that, when I recognize that I am small in the presence of God, that then I can move on in development and maturity. Is that the line that...
Yeah, I believe so. It has to start from that insignificance of myself. Mm-hmm. But yet God always responds. If you follow every person that uttered the sense of childhood, God comes right away with a different answer. Gideon, thou art a mighty valor. You know, right away from a child, God responds with something else. And I certainly believe we always have to understand where we come from and our weakness and our nothingness. But as if to say, God always reminds us that our resources that are available to you and to me as a child is so great to bring me forth into a ground of maturity to know more of God.
Yeah, and not just to be labeled, but we can move on. Because you remember the Lord Jesus, when the disciples were among themselves debating who is the greatest, things of that nature, what does he do? He brings the child in the midst, the child character, so that they might start from there in the process of development.
David, I think to bring the balance in, had Gideon told the Lord, well, Lord, I want you to realize, as the Pharisee did, I'm quite capable to do this job you've given me to do. I've got great ability and I've got great power, and you don't have to worry about me. We wouldn't have read any of the rest of these verses. But when he takes the position of the one that is in need of help from God, look at what God gives him. I know not how to go out or come in. But do you know? He didn't speak of the people of God as a little insignificant people. Look at what he says. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen. And what kind of people were they? Well, in his estimate, they were a great people that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. And so there was the recognition, because of what God had called him to do, that he needed God's help to be able to carry on. I think the same is true for us in any measure today. In any way, little way, we want to serve the Lord. We recognize first that in and of ourselves, we are nobody. We can do nothing. We will not profit anything. But as we give ourselves into His hand, I believe we will all find the Lord will be ready. He'll be there. He'll be willing to support and to secure anything that is done for His glory.
You know, we say that all the time. We have to give up ourselves. But it tends to be one of the hardest things to do. And part of the problem, I believe, is that we can take that statement now. I know not to go out and to come in. That's the complete opposite of everything that the world is about. Hmm. Not just in school. You know, in school sometimes it's blatant and sometimes it's not. But everywhere, your job, everywhere. People, the world tries to get to you to find that you're good. There's this something inside of you that makes you special. And while these are all good things to have in the context of being a Christian, being of God, by themselves, it's all about just individuality and power of self. And this is absolute garbage. It's the complete opposite of what Solomon says here. I know not to go out and to come in. And so we say it all the time, but it's a real challenge to give yourself up. And it goes back to the other thing before that we talked about, the reality that God can actually do what you're asking Him to do, and keeping that fact real in your mind. And so, again, maybe if we got some thoughts on that, and how do you actually do that in the presence of everyone around you, you know, someone at work or someone at school tells you, can you do this for me? And you say yes, and then we just do it. And even if it's something small, do we really consider, should I ask the Lord for help before I do this? You know, because everything you do has an effect on those around you. If you're presenting something at school, it's a testimony. Even if it's a silly little project for for English. I'll talk about English because I talked about math before. Even if it's a silly little project, there's still a testimony in there. How you work with these people. All that you should be praying about this stuff too. These little seemingly insignificant things.
And that's really a very vital point for us. With all of the resources that was mentioned earlier to us, why a man should pray when I could do stuff like that? Why do you have to pray when there is an emergency, when you could dial 911 and you get an ambulance here in 2 seconds? I mean, we have these things. Why you have to pray for food when you could go to the supermarket and there is abundance of food all the time? Why you have to pray for trying to understand something when you could go on the internet and do your research and get all of the information that you want? And you come to the point of being capable, have all the resources that you need, that there is no need for God at all. And as we have heard, the world really pushes us into that direction all the time. That we are self-sufficient, that we have everything at our fingertips, that we could do whatever we wanted to do. Solomon could say the same thing. Well, I have all of the resources, all of these people that work for my father going to help me out. I have the blueprints for the temple. I know how my father ran the kingdom. I could do all of these things. But to come to the presence of God, where his eyes could see everything, where all of the facade and the mirage around you is gone, and you are in the presence of one who knows the intent of your heart. He knows why you do what you do. He knows why you say what you say. He knows why you think what you think. To come in his presence and say, okay, I am here, and I need help, because I really cannot do it on my own. And it's not a cheap talk. We all say that in a kind of a false humility. Well, I don't know. I need the Lord's help. But you know, inside of you, well, I really could do it. You know, I just have to say that because that's the right way to say it. Well, you could fool people with that, but you cannot fool God. When you come to that very same point that we have heard, Jeremiah have said it, Gideon have said it, and here Solomon say, Solomon really meant that he did not know how to handle that. And he need help from the Lord. Because if the Lord felt that there was something different in Solomon's heart, he would have not given him the wisdom and giving him everything else. But it comes to that realization. Again, the verse in Hebrews 11. To come to God, to know who He is, that He exists, that He is great, and He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. It's a very good experience for all of us. And it only takes a real encounter with God. It's not a cheap talk, it's reality. People who have those experiences, you could see a difference in them.
Can we just simply say then that at this point in Solomon's life, he had an undivided heart?
Yeah, that's where I see it's important to notice his condition. Not basically his state of his incapacity or what you said, but his spiritual condition. I mean, it says prior in verse 3, verse 3, and Solomon loved Jehovah. I mean, and he was a servant of the Most High Living God. I mean, if you weren't a servant of God, do you think Jehovah would even bother asking you a question like this? I think he asked because Solomon was in the right state of mind and he was seeking God's heart. I mean, Jehovah knew his answer right away, and therefore he was able to bless him because he was seeking God. He wasn't seeking to serve anybody else but the Lord, and he knew that he couldn't do it by himself, but through God he could do all things. And that's why I think it's very important to see his spiritual condition, not so much as physical.
You know, John, while the Lord might not say to us, ask what I shall give thee, he asks us every day, what are you going to give me?
Exactly.
And that's something we've got to keep in mind, regardless of our condition. If you're saved and you have that relationship, whether, you know, how strong it is or how strong it isn't, every day the Lord wants, what do you have for me? Especially on that Sunday when you come for that worship meeting.